Akatra Foundation presents the Akatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking into a story that's, well, it's both fascinating and deeply tragic.
It really is.
Imagine this. A young man, brilliant, comes from a good family, graduates from a top university.
Has everything going for him, seemingly.
Exactly. And then he just vanishes, gives away all his savings, cuts ties completely.
And then, 2 years later, he's found dead in an old bus in the middle of the Alaskan wilderness.
It just raises so many questions. What drives someone to do that, to seek such an extreme path?
It taps into some really fundamental things, doesn't it? Questions about freedom, purpose, what an authentic life even looks like.
Absolutely. And our source for this deep dive is John Krakauer's book, Into the Wild. It's a really powerful piece of nonfiction.
It is. Krakauer dives deep into the life and ultimately the death of Christopher McCandless.
Who also called himself Alexander Supertramp.
That's right, a name he chose for himself on this journey.
And our goal today, really, is to get past the easy labels. Hmm. You know, people called him reckless, a fool.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot of judgment.
But Krakauer argues it's more complicated, that McCandless was driven by this intense idealism. So we want to explore that the pull of the wild, family stuff, the search for truth.
And see what lessons might be in there for all of us, you know, without necessarily saying his choices were right, but trying to understand the why.
Okay, so let's start chronologically. Part three, the journey. Who was Chris McCandless before he became Alexander Supertramp? Tell us about his early life.
Well, as you said, he was bright, really idealistic, came from an affluent background in Virginia, went to Emory University.
A history and anthropology major, I think.
Yeah. Smart guy. But Krakauer shows that under the surface, even during those college years, there was this growing dissatisfaction, a disillusionment with his parents' values, with society.
What specifically triggered his decision to just leave it all behind?
The real catalyst, the breaking point, was discovering a family secret. He found out his father, Walt, had lived a double life for a time, maintaining a relationship with his first wife after Chris and his sister were born.
Wow, that's heavy.
It completely shattered Chris's world. He felt his whole upbringing, his family life, was based on lies, on hypocrisy. It destroyed his respect for his father, especially.
And that feeling of betrayal fueled this need to escape.
Absolutely. A desperate need, Krakauer calls it, to escape a life he saw as false, built on moral compromise. He needed something real.
Which led to some drastic steps, burning his money, what was it, $24,000?
Something like that, yeah. What was left of his savings, he just burned it, abandoned his Datsun car out in the desert.
Cut off all contact, no letters, no calls, nothing.
Little severance. And then he adopts this new name, Alexander Supertramp.
What's the thinking behind that name, do you think? That reinvention?
It's hugely symbolic, isn't it? Shedding Christopher McCandless, the identity tied to his family and his past. Alexander Supertramp was someone new, someone self-created, free from all those expectations. It was a declaration of independence.
A really radical one.
Uncompromising. These weren't just impulsive acts. They felt almost ritualistic. Burning the cash, ditching the car. It was sealing his commitment to this new path.
But here's something interesting. For someone so set on solitude, on breaking ties, he actually connected with people quite deeply on his travels, didn't he?
He really did. It's one of the paradoxes of the story. He had this ability, this charisma, to forge genuine bonds, even if they were temporary.
Who were some of these people?
Well, there was Wayne Westerberg, the grain elevator guy in Carthage, South Dakota. He gave Chris work, became a real friend, almost like a mentor figure.
And Jan Burrs and her partner Bob. The sort of nomadic couple.
Yeah, the rubber tramps. They met him on the road and developed this real maternal feeling for him. Jan worried about him constantly like he was her own kid.
And then Ronald Frantz.
Yeah.
That connection seems particularly intense.
Oh, absolutely. Ron Frantz was an elderly man, a retired army vet, widower. He bonded so deeply with Chris, saw him almost as a grandson.
Didn't he even offer to adopt him?
He did. He was completely devastated when Chris died. Krakauer writes that it shattered his religious faith. It's heartbreaking.
So these relationships, they kind of show that even while fleeing human connection in one sense, he still needed it, or at least couldn't avoid forming it.
Exactly. It reveals that fundamental human need, maybe something even he couldn't fully escape, despite his mission for solitude.
Okay, let's shift to part four, core philosophy and values. What was driving McCandless at his core? What were his beliefs?
I think the biggest one was a radical anti-materialism. He saw consumer culture, societal expectations as a kind of poison.
Poisoned by civilization, I think was a phrase he used.
Something like that, yeah. He wanted a life measured by experience, not possessions. Adventure, authenticity, connection with nature that was wealth to him.
And this intense search for truth, right? He seemed almost obsessed with it.
Absolutely. There's that letter he wrote to Ron Frantz where he paraphrases Thoreau.
Oh, yeah, the one about truth over everything else.
That's it. Rather than love, than money, than faith, than fame, than fairness, give me truth. He was after the raw, unvarnished reality of existence. Nothing less.
It's admirable, that kind of commitment. But it also leads us to this tricky area, doesn't it? The line between idealism and, well, hubris.
Definitely. Krakauer is empathetic, but he doesn't ignore this.
Yeah.
He sees Chris as a noble idealist, but acknowledges that his extreme self-reliance, his conviction, sometimes tipped into arrogance.
What were the signs of that? The critical mistakes?
Well, the big ones were practical. Refusing to carry basic essential gear into the Alaskan wilderness, like a good map, an axe, things that experienced outdoors people would consider vital.
He underestimated Alaska.
Severely.
Yeah.
He wanted to prove he could survive on wits and minimal supplies, but Alaska is just incredibly unforgiving. There's very little margin for error.
Which leads us to part five. Three pivotal turning points. We've already touched on the first one, that discovery about his father's past. That seems like turning point number one, right? The thing that broke his world.
Absolutely. That discovery wasn't just family drama. It fundamentally altered his perception of truth, honesty, and his place in the world. It set everything else in motion.
Okay, so turning point two would be the actual break. The burning the money, adopting the Supertramp alias, hitting the road.
I'd say so. That's the point of no return. It's the moment his internal disillusionment translates into irreversible external action. He's not just thinking about escaping anymore. He is escaping, actively forging this new identity.
And the third pivotal turning point has to be the Alaskan ordeal itself, specifically getting trapped.
Yes, definitely. He goes into the wild, finds the bus 142. He has some initial success, feels like he's succeeding, even shoots a moose.
But then things start to go wrong.
Right. The moose meat spoils a huge psychological and practical blow. Then, crucially, when he decides to hike back out, the Tiklanika River, which was low when he crossed it in spring, is now a raging flood because of the summer melt.
He's trapped?
Completely trapped. And here's the devastating irony, the thing that makes it a turning point leading to the end. A good topographical map would have shown him a way across.
There was a bridge or a cable crossing nearby.
Krakauer found there was a gauging station with a cable car not far upstream or other potential shallow spots downstream. But without a map, McCandless didn't know. He assumed the river was impassable everywhere. That lack of one key piece of equipment stemming from his philosophy of self-reliance sealed his feat.
It's just tragic. Which brings us to Krakauer's investigation into how he actually died.
But Krakauer really dug into this. The initial theory was that he ate poisonous wild sweet pea seeds. But Krakauer wasn't satisfied.
He developed a different theory, right?
Yeah. Yes, his later research suggested it was more likely the seeds of the wild potato plant, Hedys serum alpinum. Normally edible, but Krakauer proposed they might contain an alkaloid, especially harmful to someone already malnourished, that prevents the body from metabolizing food. Basically, starvation, even with calories coming in.
Or possibly mold on the seeds.
He explored that too. The key thing for Krakauer wasn't just pinpointing the exact cause, but showing it was likely a subtle, understandable mistake. Not just gross stupidity or incompetence, as some critics claimed. It fits the pattern of a smart but unprepared person making a fatal error in an extreme environment.
And in those final days, trapped in the bus, starving, he wrote that line.
Happiness only real when shared.
Such a powerful, poignant realization.
It's incredibly moving. After this whole journey seeking ultimate solitude, pushing everyone away, in his final moments, he arrives at this profound understanding about human connection. It suggests maybe if he'd survived, he might have come back seeking community.
Which leads us nicely into part six, human lessons and reflection. What can we, or maybe you, the listener, take away from Chris McCandless's life and Krakauer's telling of it?
Well, one big thing is that it forces you to question things, your own values, societal norms. What does success really mean? Is it the job, the money, or is it something else?
Like authentic experience.
Exactly. McCandless took it to an extreme, obviously, but his story pushes you to ask, am I living genuinely? What does happiness mean for me?
It also seems like a powerful lesson in empathy.
Oh, definitely. Krakauer's whole project is about resisting snap judgments, looking beyond the headlines, beyond the simple foolish kid narrative, and trying to understand the why, the complex web of motivations behind someone's actions. That's a skill we need everywhere, right? In all our relationships.
And the family aspect. It's just devastating.
It really is. It's a stark reminder of how secrets and lack of communication can just corrode a family. It highlights how vital honesty and open dialogue are.
And maybe the biggest lesson comes from that final note he wrote.
Happiness only real when shared.
Yeah.
It's about finding that balance, isn't it? Between independence, which is valuable, and community, which is essential. Self-reliance is important, but total isolation. Maybe that's not the answer. We need connection.
Okay, let's try to distill this into part 7. 3 final takeaways. What's the most powerful emotional insight here?
For me, the emotional takeaway is just the sheer complexity of being human. McCandless wasn't simple. He was brilliant, passionate, angry, idealistic, naive all at once. His story challenges us to accept ambiguity in others and maybe in ourselves, and to seek understanding before we judge.
And the key intellectual insight. What does his story make us think about on a deeper level?
Intellectually, it's a fascinating look at that very American theme of self-reinvention, the pull of the frontier, the quest for an authentic life outside society's bounds. But it also forces us to question if true freedom is found by escaping society, or by finding your own meaningful place within it.
Right. And finally, a universal insight, a practical life lesson.
I think the most universal lesson is about balance. Balancing that idealism we all have, especially when young, with practicality. Balancing independence with interdependence, recognizing we need others. Balancing adventure with responsibility. It suggests that wisdom involves humility, preparation, and acknowledging our fundamental need for connection.
He lived deliberately, maybe too deliberately in some ways, forgetting the shared part until the very end.
Exactly. His story is a powerful, if tragic, reminder of that balance.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, it leaves us with a lot to think about for you listening. How do you pursue truth and authenticity? What's your wild, that place you go for self-discovery? And how do you navigate it while still valuing connection? How do you live deliberately without being destructive?
Really profound questions to carry forward.
Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.